Hi, I'm Mary Harrell from Mater Dei Radio. Manhattan's Central Park may seem like an unlikely setting for the setting of a new children's book out by one of our favorite Catholic publishers, but Central Park it is, and a family of swans may not seem the first set of characters you think of to embody traditional family values, but I promise you this new book offers an enchanting look at the beauty and the order and the grace of love within a family. So just released from Tan Books, this new book is The Handsome Little Signet, written by Dr. Matthew Meehan and illustrated by John Folley. And Matthew is here with us today to talk about it. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Matthew, I have to ask, did you read The Trumpet of the Swan as a kid, the classic children's book by E.B. White? Because when I hear the word signet, I of course think of swans, but I think of The Trumpet of the Swan, and I introduced that to my kids, you know, a while ago, and we reread it every so often. So was that part of your lexicon growing up?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, I took that as one of the sort of jumping off point texts, that and The Ugly Duckling, Hans Christian Andersen's Ugly Duckling. As sort of things to riff off of. I enjoyed that book a lot when I was a kid.
But the dad in The Trumpet of the Swan isn't, he's a little bit of a goofball, I know that, but is that something you sought to correct maybe in this book? Because you have two very strong guiding parents in this book, which is really appealing, I think, to families reading it to their kids.
Yeah, it's actually been a kind of fascination of mine watching popular children's culture, but just pop culture in general, both books and television, movies, the absolute paucity or absence of serious, thoughtful, and sustained parental guidance, right? Like good fathers and mothers thoughtfully considering how to rear and raise and form their children. Usually, and especially, you see the dichotomy between a sort of like long-suffering mother and what I call bad dad syndrome, sort of the goofball dad, like you said, the Homer Simpson, where the father's maybe has some admirable qualities, like he'll do some good things here and there, but his autopilot setting is that of kind of a Labrador with low self-control and no choke chain, right? And that's very often how fathers are depicted. And the thing that really sort of rankles me about that is, well, sure, every once in a while that's something that exists in the world and can be reported upon in art. But right, if that's all you see, that's all you're going to get, because we are imitative creatures and monkey see, monkey do. So I wanted to present some strong parents that were thoughtful and considerate, careful. Well,
and Matt, you are a poet, you're a scholar, you're a teacher, you have your PhD in literature and philosophy, a lot there. So what came first, the signet or the egg? Which one did you decide on first? Writing a book about swans that turns into the study of family life and growing up, or a book on growing up that you think, hey, swan signets, they're going to fit well with the storyline?
Yeah, I think the idea or the concern over coming of age, watching what's been unfolding in culture and how children are really struggling today to find out how to grow up and be what they are. I use a hashtag on social media, be what you are, right? Like, it's actually quite difficult to, you know, sort of find your identity today with all these confusing messages and, frankly, many of them perverse images. So I thought about that first, and then the swan wound up being a kind of beautiful image because of the ugly duckling, right? Sort of that's an old story about not knowing what you are. But today it's actually forgetting what you are due to sort of the overwhelming flux of images that try to confuse what you are. So I wanted to reverse that. So instead of the ugly duckling, it's the handsome little signet, meaning actually knowing what you are and then forgetting and then having to rediscover and heal and grow towards what you are. So the swan came second, both because of, the inversion of the ugly duckling story, but also just sort of the dignity and nobility of the animal. It's such a beautiful and dignified animal. And oftentimes children are told that they don't have dignity. They're not made in God's image, right? That they're just, little animals and treat themselves as such. So I wanted a very sort of noble creature to sort of set the tone.
I'm speaking with Dr. Matthew Meehan, author of The Handsome Little Cygnet, just released by Tan Books. Matt, our listeners may think your name sounds familiar because you and John Fawley teamed up, I think it's 3 years ago now, to create Mr. Meehan's mildly amusing Mythical Mammals, a really self-deprecating title. It's very amusing, I think. It was a stunning achievement. It was ridiculously fun, alliteration and poetry, along with beautiful illustrations. So was becoming a children's book author something you set out to become, or have you kind of stumbled into it at this point in your career?
So stumbled in is maybe too strong, but I definitely was enjoying the art of writing privately. And the more and more I thought about it, the more I realized that that genre of sort of children's books is basically an open sewer in one sense and an open niche for really good stuff. So I wanted to go there because I thought it was an easy place to start to put forward the kinds of messages that oftentimes in other genres, the cultural dragons and watchers and gatekeepers wouldn't let you get away with it. So I wanted to, sort of help shape the hearts of young people, but also families. And where do you get both adults and children? You get them with children's literature. So that's sort of how I fell into it.
And I would say the moment the Handsome Little Cygnet arrived on my doorstep, my six-year-old daughter, she swooped it up and claimed it as hers. I've read it a couple times since, but it's really been claimed and it's in her room somewhere, but I can't get it back. And the story, I don't want to give it all away, but essentially a fluffy little gray cygnet loved by his parents. He kind of strays out of bounds, but he learns his lesson. He comes back. What about that story, the kind of redemption story or just learning a lesson? What do you think resonates so much with little children when they hear that kind of thing?
Because, what's the old line from Aristotle? Shame is an emotion that's like a virtue and appropriate to children.
Ooh,
right? That, like,
right.
Like little kids find themselves in shameful positions more often than not. Mm-hmm. So it resonates in that they're very aware of that emotion in themselves and having to kind of restore themselves to God and to their parents and to good order and health. And they mess up a lot. So I think they resonate just with that very natural process of growing up. But I also just think that there's this feeling in the book of being overwhelmed by the sights and sounds of a fairly inhospitable world that is nevertheless fake hospitality. They're inviting you to try and do any and everything. And it's this like great explosion of tantalizing images. Mm-hmm. I think kids resonate with that, and parents do too. There's sort of just like this overwhelming visual stimuli, and kids have to learn how to, sort of navigate that in a healthy way. And one of the ways to do that is, right, actually have mirrored experiences through literature so that before you make a mistake next time, you have a memory of something that you didn't do wrong, but you have the feelings that, oh, that's bad, I don't want to do that. But that's part of what literature is. That's what tragedy is, right?
Right.
Catharsis. Oh, I don't want to do that. Mm. That's bad, right? So I wanted to kind of give families and children a leg up and make fewer or lighter mistakes through the experience of this little cygnet. Mm.
A leg or a wing, either one.
That's right, right, a webbed foot up.
Matt, I want to just mention real quick, at the end of the book, you have this charming little page where you have some hide and seek games listed, and you've hidden some things on each page for children to go back and look for after they've read the book. Do you remember being enchanted with those kind of Easter egg hunts in books as a kid? Because I know I did.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I grew up in the era of Where's Waldo?
Oh, yeah.
Things like that, right? Or Highlights Magazine, the Seek and Find page. Like, I love that stuff.
Right.
And I try to make it in a certain sense thematically tied to the book in that it's a seek and find about Central Park and its natural and its artificial or monumental aspects, sort of the art of it, the artifice, because that's the theme of the book in a certain sense, is coming to know who you are, right? And your identity is about both understanding the nature of what you are, but then using your own good sense and art to shape yourself artfully in accord with that nature. And that's what Central Park is, right? It's the use of beautiful nature, animals, trees, water, plants, right? But artfully assembled in a way that's pleasing and beneficial for human flourishing. So that's why the setting is Central Park, because it fits the story. And then the seek and find is both the natural and the artificial parts of Central Park.
So much, more than meets the eye in this book, but a lot does meet the eye. It's a beautiful book. It's big. It's beautifully produced. Just a lovely treasure to have in your home. Again, the book, The Handsome Little Signet. Ask for it at your local Catholic bookstore, or you can find it online at tanbooks.com. And Matthew, for our readers to find out more about you or your mildly amusing collection of mythical mammals, where should they head online?
Yeah, they can go to www.mythicalmammals.com. And the landing page for the new book is, after that, / for the birds, #4, the birds, for the birds.
Fantastic. Families, head there, a great resource. Matt, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much.